Blog Talk Radio.
Today, here on Cincy Business Talk with Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, we'll be talking to business leaders about how they have grown their businesses and people. We discuss new strategies, tactics, and philosophies which lead to positive growth in our marketplace. Our program is sponsored by Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. Each week, we'll talk with our best Cincinnati area top executives about their tools and insights. Our regular listeners will be given the edge that will help them win in a competitive environment which we live. Simple solutions to complex problems, which challenge all of us, are rarely correct. We will address complex problems or opportunities with appropriate solutions. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400. Now your host, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, Mike Roth.
Thanks, Scott. This is Mike Roth. I'm here with Roger Roser of the Eisen Agency. Roger's the CEO of the company. Roger, thanks for joining us here today.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on. I really genuinely appreciate it.
Roger, why don't you tell the folks how you got here? How did you get to start the Eisen Agency?
They wouldn't let me work anywhere else, Mike. So, I had to start my own company. You know how that goes.
And they mean?
I mean, it's kind of a circuitous story. I mean, when I was in college and school, I wanted to be Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I wanted to be a newscaster. My degree is in broadcast news and broadcast journalism. But I worked as a professional reporter. I was a TV anchor and a radio jock and a newspaper reporter for years.
Here in Cincinnati?
No, up in Cleveland.
Okay.
And I had been performing in rock and roll bands since I was about 13 years old. So I basically took this combination of, and if anybody out there has the current issue of Business Owner magazine, I've got an article in it called Everything I Learned About Marketing I Learned in an 80s Hair Band. And, you basically took the combination of being in a rock and roll band where you were, playing live, promoting the band, trying to get people to come out to gigs, trying to be different, trying to market yourself, trying to brand yourself, and combining that with sort of the journalism background, the journalism expertise, and poof, out popped a PR guy. So I worked as a professional journalist for several years in the beginning of my career. I had the pleasure of working for a professional sports team. Then I went to New York, worked for a Fortune 500 company. Then I came back to Cincinnati.
Are you a Cincinnati native?
I'm not. I'm originally from Cleveland, the rock and roll capital of the world. So that's
okay,
where all rock and rollers are born and bred, I guess. Moved to Cincinnati in 1999 and worked for an agency down here. Worked for a couple of different agencies here in Cincinnati and truly felt that I could do it better, smarter, faster, stronger, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Eisen Agency was born.
Okay. That was back in 1999.
99 is when I came down here. I worked for another firm, and Eisen was officially incorporated in the beautiful Commonwealth of Kentucky in 2006.
Okay, so it's about 6 or 7 years that you had your own agency.
Correct, yep.
Good. And the agency is primarily a public relations agency, or is it a full-service ad agency for some people?
It's funny. I get that question a lot. I mean, to me, there's no difference between the two. It just depends on how you look at it. As an ad agency, I guess you're kind of the solution to all problems comes with advertising.
Mm-hmm.
As a public relations firm, we're a comprehensive, fully integrated public relations firm, meaning we'll work with clientele to determine the best ways to relate to their publics properly, which may include things that somebody might think of from a PR firm, such as media relations or events or promotions, but would also include online, social, interactive promotions. And, yes, we are an award-winning advertising firm as well.
Okay, because I've always felt that the public relations side to a lot of small businesses is much more important than the advertising side, because you can never buy that public relations.
Sure. I mean, advertising is certainly a good tactic of relating to your publics. There's certainly nothing wrong with advertising and utilizing it properly. There are times that you need to get the message out, but oftentimes, and certainly the way we view it, is the ongoing act of relating to your publics is what's going to give you good fodder
mm-hmm.
to advertise. If every time you see an ad that says, you know, 9 out of 10 say this, or, you know, 90% satisfaction, and so on and so forth, that's stemming from public relations. So you have to have some message, you need a content, and you need a story to share. And in the end, public relations is the whole of your business in going out and trying to relate to their publics to get them to do some desired form of action, which usually is to buy your product or hire your company or vote for or against something. So certainly voting and advocacy is certainly a critical component of PR.
So does your firm participate in political campaigns?
We do. We do very specific things for very specific types of political organizations. There are certain ones that we won't represent for certain reasons, just personally because the owner won't represent certain types of organizations. So we take a look at who we would represent and who we would work with, and we look at that very specifically. But anything from speech writing to promotions to...
So you have to be on, like, only one side.
You certainly have to be on a certain side of the political equation represented by Eisen.
So, and, you know, I've often heard this about politicians, campaigns, relative to, as you would be in a vendor scenario.
Correct, yep.
I was always wondering, does that agency actually get paid?
A lot of them don't.
Really?
You know, oh, boy, when you look at, like, recently the Newt Gingrich campaign, which is millions of dollars.
About $4 million in the hole.
They're not required, and oftentimes they can't. Payback. It has to come from campaign contribution. Can't use their own, you know, personal money
and reach into his pocket.
Yeah. So, you know, you're taking a risk at some level, but I guess from an ethical standpoint, I just believe that it's important that I'm going to represent a certain political entity or advocate for a certain type of cause. I personally have to believe in it, and although Democratic money is green, Republican money is green. You know, important to me that I can look at that candidate and say, this is somebody that I genuinely support. I only will work with very specific types of programs or candidates.
And on the other side of the issue.
I definitely would not run competitors, although wouldn't that be interesting? Even in general with our intel, I won't represent a competitor to a...
I definitely know some clients I need to send you away, Michael.
Okay, well, then we'd be more than happy to
you
have
bet.
Them. I'm going to ask you one easy question, and
sure.
Then we're going to take a short break. Roger, why don't you tell me about how your company goes to market? You've been in the marketplace here in Cincinnati for 7 years. How do you go about finding new business?
We've been really blessed. I mean, the advertising PR game, I guess, for lack of a better term, is a really strong referral and word-of-mouth, you know, kind of organization. And, you know, I truly believe that good work begets good work. But we do a lot of things to physically market ourselves. I mean, we talked about the beer tasting summit that we do. I mean, we try to do a lot of fun things.
That was offline before we started the show.
Things that, I mean, we would call that experiential marketing if you want to give it a fancy name. But it's just an opportunity for folks to come out and meet us and say hello and just no pressure and such. Because, again, it is all about relating to your publics and building a relationship. And like I said, we're not right for everybody. So it's a great way to meet without feeling like, oh, my God, this guy's selling me. You know, we do paid advertising. We do sponsorships. I do a lot of speaking, you know, not only throughout the city but across the country. We've got a good mentoring program. I think our website is a lot of fun. So, I mean, all the traditional tactics that you could think of, certainly we go after it. But my firm is very blessed that we've got, you know, a cadre of, you know, clientele that are there and solid and loyal, and we take exquisite care of our clientele, and we're as busy as we want to be, and you know, always looking to add some great new clients, I suppose. But right now, the we're not as actively hunting and gathering as some of our competitors.
Let me tell everyone who else is coming up over the next couple of weeks. On tomorrow's show, we're going to have Mike McCormick, a CPA. He likes to call himself the tax coach. He teaches his clients how to get a discount on their IRS rates, naturally, by taking all of the legal deductions possible. Don't leave any money on the table. Following week, on the 15th of June, we have Glenn Scherzinger of Sure Thing Pest Control. He's going to be talking about the epidemic of bugs.
I just saw his bed bug ads today on Channel 9, WCPO.
Good commercials. And let's see. 21st of June, we have Martin Wilhelmy of UBS. Martin is going to be talking about some of the strategies that we can use to invest all the money that we're going to be making. And on the 22nd, we have Dan Nyer of Nyer.
Yeah.
And Dan is a business developer and an operator of commercial properties. He's going to give us his view on the market for commercial properties here in the Cincinnati marketplace. While we're doing that, I'll just tell the folks about a program that we have coming up here at Sandler. We have a three-week series coming up on networking, how to be a better networker. That runs on Monday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. So if you want to make more out of your networking experience and turn the words strategic partner into something that's for real, that you can turn into revenue, then you want to call us over here at Sandler Training at 513-646-6523, and we'll tell you a little bit about how that series works. And we also have a cold call camp coming up on June 27th for those people who believe in making cold calls. Frankly, cold calling does work in business-to-business environments exceptionally well. And during that program, we're going to teach people how to get by the gatekeeper and how to talk to about 70% of the people they dial, how to build three scripts for the contact so that you can eliminate them or turn them into a yes for a face-to-face meeting. And then we're going to deal with five ways to deal with someone else's voicemail, okay? Because when you hear beep, I'm sorry, I'm temporarily not available. Please leave your message at the sound of the tone. Most salespeople, Roger, don't even leave a message.
Mm.
Therefore, they have zero probability of getting through to that person.
You got a great 7 seconds to give a little branding message and warm up that cold call.
We don't necessarily recommend that. That's what we call the super decaf modality. And so we have a different modality that will force roughly 70 to 80% of the listeners to that message to pick up the phone and call you right back. In fact, during the last 2 hours of the cold call camp, we make real cold calls to prospects that you've never spoken to before. We tell people to bring a list of 10. We record them and then debrief them. But we keep track on the front board of how many calls and who we called and how many people called back and how many face-to-face meetings were booked. Usually it's about 50%. So that's a great day.
That's great.
If you mentioned that you heard this on Cincinnati Business Talk, and you can take $100 off the $595 one-day cold call camp price. That program is limited to 21 people, so that'll be probably 10 President's Club members and 11 outsiders will be there for the first time. Okay, one easy question, and
sure,
then we're going to take a short break.
I definitely know some clients I need to send you away, Michael.
Okay, well, then we'd be more than happy to have
it.
I'm going to ask you one easy question, and
sure,
then we're going to take a short break. Roger, why don't you tell me about how your company goes to market? You've been in the marketplace here in Cincinnati for 7 years. How do you go about finding new business?
Well, we've been really blessed. I mean, the advertising PR game, I guess, for lack of a better term, is a really strong referral and word-of-mouth, you know, kind of organization. And, you know, I truly believe that good work begets good work. But we do a lot of things to physically market ourselves. I mean, we talked about the beer tasting summit that we do. I mean, we try to do a lot of fun things.
That was offline before we started the show.
we would call that experiential marketing if you want to give it a fancy name. But it's just an opportunity for folks to come out and meet us and say hello and just no pressure and such. Because, again, it is all about relating to your publics and building a relationship. And like
mm-hmm.
I said, we're not right for everybody. So it's a great way to meet without feeling like, oh, my God, this guy's selling me. You know, we do paid advertising. We do sponsorships. I do a lot of speaking, you know, not only throughout the city but across the country. We've got a good mentoring program. I think our website is a lot of fun. So, I mean, all the traditional tactics that you could think of, certainly we go after it. But my firm is very blessed that we've got, a cadre of, you know, clientele that are there and solid and loyal, and we take exquisite care of our clientele, and we're as busy as we want to be, and always looking to add some great new clients, I suppose. But right now, the we're not as actively hunting and gathering as some of our competitors.
Good. We'll be right back, Roger, after these messages. This is Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. Many salespeople tell us business was really easy. They likened it to gathering fruit in an orchard full of ripe trees. They gathered the low-hanging fruit. They had to get baskets to pick up the fruit that was already fallen. They never had to climb a tree. They worked this way for 10 or 15 years. Given the strong economy, this was no problem. What are we hearing now? The economy has slowed down. Salespeople are competing on price. There's still business now, but salespeople have to work harder. The fruit has not fallen from the tree, and there's no low-hanging fruit. The fruit is there, but it's higher up in the tree. The problem is, their salespeople have forgotten how to climb. Do your salespeople know how to climb? If you or your team needs to learn how to climb through and up out of tough economic times, call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523, or check our website at rothconsulting.net. Hi, I'm Mike Roth, founder and president of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. You've been listening to me talk about sales growth and development for years. Now listen to what my clients have to say.
Hi, this is meteorologist Rich Apuzzo, chief operating officer at Sky Eye Weather. We are consultants for multi-million-dollar businesses that are directly impacted by the weather. I've been a client of Sandler Training by Mike Roth for just over 6 months, yet even in these tough economic times, our business continues to grow. Mike has done an amazing job with me, and I want to thank the folks at Sandler Training by Roth & Associates for all their help. And hey, when you're talking to Mike about sales, if you need a meteorologist, ask for my number.
To find out more about Sandler Training and how it might grow your business, contact us at 513-646-6523. That's 513-646-6523. Or visit us at www.rothconsulting.net. Well, this is Mike Roth. I'm back with Roger Roser of the Eisen Agency. Roger, I'm going to ask you to elaborate on that last response you gave. How is mentoring a business development activity?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've got a program called the Cult of the Blue Tongue, and basically,
I've noticed
you like that, yeah, right?
On your email.
Basically, I look at every opportunity as a public relations opportunity or as a business development opportunity. Being on your show is a business development opportunity. When I speak at PRSA or PRSSA or some business organization, it's a business development opportunity.
PSRA.
PRSA. Yeah, the Public Relations Society of America.
Good. See, we have this rule here in
Sandler. No acronyms, sorry.
No acronyms or buzzwords unless you explain them first so people don't feel bad.
And our industry is loaded with TLAs, three-letter acronyms.
Or FLAs, four-letter
acronyms. Right, gotcha, yep.
So we know that hurts sales, so we teach our people never to use them unless you're going to explain them first. So I'm going to ask you to explain them when
gotcha.
You hit them like
yep,
that.
You got it. So I just look at, you know, these opportunities that we're doing. And again, my firm is very blessed. I mean, the harder I work, the luckier I get. But, you know, we've been very successful in what it is that we do. And I think we're always looking at ways to give back. So basically every member of my team has adopted a philanthropy that we donate, you know, literally $100,000 each year in pro bono nonprofit work. But we also do a lot of mentoring work with young professionals that are coming in. We work with the third grade class at Newport Elementary. So, I mean, we're working with professionals in college, and we're working with folks in high school that are trying to determine whether they want a career in marketing or journalism or so forth, and work with even the very youngest of kids. So, you know, like I said, we're very blessed to be in a position to help. And that's all part of the branding. That's all part of how people, I think, view myself and my organization, that this is somebody who genuinely cares about the community and cares about the profession, and we do. And I think that if you're looking at a firm or you're looking at an organization whose leadership truly values the ability to give back, and you value that as a client or a customer, that would be something that you would want to be a part of. And I've met some amazingly talented young people, and I get the pleasure of working with some amazingly talented mentors who I learn from all the time as well.
Mm-hmm. But in your organization, do you have anyone that you would call a business development person or a salesperson that you pay on a basis of productivity?
Eisen's not quite structured that way. As the owner of the company, the chief tuna and bottle washer, you know, I look at it as, you know, it's my job to make sure that my staff gets paid well, and it's my job to make sure that my staff is busy. I do as much business development, and I wouldn't even call it sales, but I do as much business development as I want to. We are extremely selective about the types of companies that we work with and represent. We try to represent all leading prestige brands and top in class in a specific branded area. They're either the number one, number two business in that industry as a whole. I love your ads. You know, you're the hardest trainer and so on and so forth, and it's not going to be easy.
Tough, expensive.
Yeah. And, you know, Aizen's not, I mean, expensive is a relative term, but, you know, if a client genuinely wants to grow their business and they genuinely want to market themselves properly,
mm-hmm.
Aizen's a good choice. If you want me to say yes to everything that you say and you want me to like your goofy advertising concepts, and call one of my competitors. If you're here to gain market share, you call me.
Okay, that's good.
But we do actively seek. I mean, we're certainly out there, and we're shaking hands. I love your networking thing, because some folks are truly god awful at it. I mean, you know, they don't shake hands right. They don't pass out their cards. I mean, I remember when you and I were at the Pillar Awards for mm-hmm. the Smart Business Magazine Pillar Awards not that long ago. And it's not like you have to go around and just be this butterfly that's flitting all over the place. I mean, I don't like that either. But it's nice to be able to meet some folks and meet some colleagues and shake some hands and carry on a reasonably intelligent small talk conversation
right.
and say hello.
In fact, I don't think I met you that night. I think I spoke to one or two of your people.
I remember meeting you because I got your fancy business card with the money on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Your $1 million.
I talked to probably 20
But hopefully
people.
You talked to a couple of my folks and... Yeah, so that's good, too.
You had a really heavyset fella.
Did we?
Yeah. No, you don't know who he was.
I don't.
Wow.
But, you know, that could be somebody. It might have been me.
No, no.
300 pounds ago.
No, you didn't lose that much weight in that short a period of time. Round numbers, how many people do you have in your organization?
There's 16 of us at the firm. To my knowledge, we're the largest PR firm by employee size and probably by revenue. I don't know all my competitors' revenue, but I believe we're the largest PR firm in greater Cincinnati.
That's interesting because, you know, this goes back a long ways. In 93, when I first was starting up here in Cincinnati, I was seeking a PR agency.
Were you?
And
Dan Pinger is who I would have called in 1993.
No, I didn't call Dan. I got a recommendation to a guy who wrote a book called Third Rail or something. I still have his book up there someplace.
Okay.
And maybe during the next break I'll go,
yeah,
I'll
go say,
pull
I don't
it
think,
out.
Yeah.
He was an old guy then, and he had some old name ideas, but really good ideas.
That's cool.
That helped us in the early 90s.
Yeah, it's you know, it can be attractive to have a firm, if for nothing else, to have some maybe some outside counsel or some expert advice. Not that every idea we have is brilliant, but it can be good to run something past somebody, I suppose. And PR firms, the good ones, know a lot of people. So, again, they're really good for establishing, I think, good, solid networking contacts.
Yeah,
and so forth.
He was exceptionally valuable. I don't think he's with us anymore.
Okay.
He was kind of old in 94.
Old in 94.
Yeah, right. So what are the... opportunities and possibilities you see in our marketplace? You know, we got to lean back. You know, I'm not asking you for an economic forecast.
Right, my crystal ball.
Yeah, we keep one in the train.
I saw that in your magic eight balls and you know, prayer books and so forth, which for some people is their marketing plan and their sales strategy is a magic eight ball and
as a VP of sales
praying.
Mm-hmm. There was a time when it was my job to take the sales team's forecast and turn it into a manufacturing
right.
request. And I always use those magic eight balls to figure out whether or not this deal that the salesperson put at the 83rd percentile or 85th
right.
percentile was worth manufacturing or not.
That's great.
And the eight ball was equally good to what my sales team was for.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Manufacturing VP hated me because we never built the right thing.
Right. So that's pretty, the magic eight ball is just as effective. I mean, no, I'm very positive about the future. I mean, I think that we would be foolish not to be looking at it with you know, some level of positivity. But I truly believe that you make your own luck and you make your own work. I mean, I live by this phrase, things you do today are going to pay off tomorrow. So what are you doing today? If you're waiting to be acted upon by market forces or by the government, you're doing it wrong. You really need to take a very specific design of where it is that you want to go, create your marketing plan or a sales plan or whatever you want to call it, and act upon that to move forward. I think that the companies that have been doing some marketing, have continued to keep a decent level of awareness when they ramp up or as some of them are ramping up. You know, now is when millions are going to be made, and now is when market share is going to be taken, and now is when some of the businesses that have not been as forthright and pushing that stuff forward truly, I believe, are going to go away. So I think you're going to see a lot of Darwinian business in the next couple years, and the organizations that just have not been hunkering down, have not been working hard, literally won't be here, you know, too much longer.
I call that sales efficiency.
Yeah.
And if a company is not sales efficient, they're out of business. You got to take market share. And we say there are three things that you need to have. You have to have a great process, and we give our clients the Sandler process, which is truly psychological in nature. We have to have the right people on the sales team, business development team, whether you're an attorney, a mortgage guy, a life insurance guy, or even in the agency business.
Sure.
And then you have to have some unique strategies. If your strategy makes you the same as everyone else in your business, you might be out of business.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you got to be different, and if you're not different, you got to get different. You got to figure out where you fit. As a brilliant man once told me, the riches are in the niches, right? And, you know, if you can find an area where you can really succeed and do well, work can be darn rewarding. It can be a heck of a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I can't believe I get paid to do what I do. It's amazing. I love my job. Mondays are the best day of the week for me. It's called, you know, they call it the Apollo attitude, where, you know, you're looking at the team and everybody's pitching for the same concept. From janitor to CEO, you know, what are you guys doing? Well, we're sending a man to the moon. And, you know, as long as you have this collective understanding, Eisen, I think, has, you know, pretty strong and sometimes bullheaded leadership, but, you know, we take a look at where we want to get to very seriously. We have a lot of fun, Mike. Mm-hmm. We work our butts off, you know, it beats getting a real job.
I think in business development sales, if you're not really enjoying what you're doing, you should maybe think of a different line of work. Sometimes it's the right people in the wrong line of work.
Right.
Sometimes it's the right people doing the right things in the wrong company.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was there. I mean, you know, like I mean, we discussed, you know, kind of my route here. I mean, it's not like I walked out of a closet and all of a sudden I was the owner of, you know, Cincy's largest PR firm or whatever the heck you want to call us. But, you know, there was a lot of work. There were some ups and downs. You know, I worked at, you know, other firms and some were rewarding, some weren't, you know, and mm-hmm. it's not their fault. It's not my fault. It maybe wasn't a good fit. You know, I make a terrible employee, but I make one hell of a leader. And, you know, when you look at that, you know, you've got to understand, you know, where your strengths are. And, you know, you try to surround yourself by just fabulous people who are dedicated to that cause. And you share that cause. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to be professional communicators. So it's important that we can communicate with one another and share and sojourn on and get some great stuff done.
Good, Roger. Let's listen to another leader for about 2 minutes. Let's listen to David Sandler. Here he is in probably 1984 talking to Sandler trainers about getting to where he is in the franchise business.
Excellent.
My other goal, but this started back in 67, but I just reinforced it in 1984. I wanted to be with a group of people, you, entrepreneurs, accidents, wanted to make money, wanted to make a contribution, wanted to help other people. You know, they said that couldn't be done. You're living proof that that could be done, sitting right in this room. You give yourself. I wanted to be with an organization that really made a contribution to people. We were cleaning out our closets the other day, and I took down the Tony Robbins $179.50 course that we've never taken the cellophane off of. Tony Robbins has a $10 million a month budget and a helicopter, but I don't think that helps a lot of people. And so what I found out when I was selling these boxes for that Texas group was that I wanted to service people. I wanted people to get advantage of what they were buying. And so I said to them, after I started to figure this thing out, after 2 or 3 years, I said, you know, let me give you the box of tapes free. And what I'm really going to sell you is, why don't you come and visit me at the Holiday Inn? It happened to be this one. Why don't you come and visit me at the Holiday Inn every other Thursday night for the next year, and let me make sure you're using what I sold you. And they did. And we used to have 250 people up the road here at the Marriott. This place couldn't handle it. We used to have 250 people every other Thursday night show up for training. And they brought 25 to 30 of their friends. And 90% of those people joined the President's Club. So you're living proof that this business can be multiplied. No question about that.
Well, this is Mike Roth here again with Roger Roser of the Eisen Agency. Roger, you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to let you tell the people who are listening how to get a hold of you and the agency.
You can go to our website, which is CincinnatiPublicRelations.com, or we have our more traditional one, TheEisenAgency.com. We've got blogs out there, The Cult of the Blue Tongue, et cetera.
Yeah, we got to stop on that one. Because I got an email from Roger, and there's a picture of a blue tongue.
It kind of looks like that Rolling Stones ad or that Rolling Stones album, if that rings a bell, where they're sticking out their tongue. It just happened.
Okay.
Remember that old classic picture of Albert Einstein where he's sticking out his tongue?
I know that one, yes.
And we had used that in a campaign, a direct mail campaign that we had done for the firm.
Okay.
And since our colors are blue and black, the picture obviously is black and white because it's an old shot from, what, the 30s or 40s or something like that.
Gotta be.
And
got to be the 40s.
Yeah. So what we did was, just to match our branded colors, since he's sticking out his tongue, we just made it blue. So it just kind of stuck. And so, you know, we send out blue suckers to clients and prospects and folks, and we've got a website called The Cult of the Blue Tongue. And if you suck on these blue suckers, they turn your tongue blue. And, you know, we've got a program that we do because I teach other agencies across the country how to run their business more effectively. And
so you have a blue beer too?
We don't have blue beer, but that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That would take a lot of food coloring, I assume. But we do have a red ale, but I don't know how red that is. I'd have to try a blue beer.
You know, I do keep that Albert Einstein quote up on the wall. Insanity's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Amen.
And it's so funny when I go into organizations and take a look at their sales team and what they're doing today versus what they were doing 5 years ago, and I find,
you're still doing the
same thing. You're not going to get different results.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at our industry and how things have changed, obviously you see the big social media phenomenon and the interactive and the way, you know, the use of video and blogging and podcasting and so on and so forth, which kudos to you. This is good, solid marketing. You're good at it. But, you know, it's helpful in opening the doors, but then you need somebody like you and everybody who's out there, especially professional services, in my opinion, and B2B, you know, if you don't have a sales process, if you haven't gone through Sandler or something like that, I mean, give Mike a call. I mean, to me, it's important because the greatest marketing in the universe isn't going to work if you don't have a sales guy who can get out there and close the sale, explain it more. I mean, there's no amount of marketing in the world that's going to replace sitting down with somebody and going through the nuances and the details. To me, that's why you see such bad marketing, because they're trying to include everything, including the kitchen sink, on their website or in a brochure, knowing full well that there's not a person on the planet that's going to read all that stuff, but they don't have a sales guy who can explain it, you know?
I think there you have to look at the difference between my neighbor here who sells a web-based product over the web for $8 a month, the people who are enthusiasts, and he doesn't have a sales department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's his web page.
Right.
If you want to call and talk to a salesperson, there's no one there to talk to.
Mm.
You can talk to a tech support guy.
Right.
But there is no salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, that's fine for him.
For him, that works, yeah.
But if you're selling business to business or business to consumer, you have a highly competitive product that's near commodity, you better have a good sales team.
Well, you know, because so often, you know, the agency, because, you know, there are really fabulous agencies in Cincinnati. I think the city is blessed to have some of the very best because of the nature of the businesses that we have here. So, but that being said, you know, an ad or a direct mail or even an article in the newspaper, all of that is good and that's positive, but that needs to be done on an ongoing basis. But it's never, ever, ever going to replace a salesperson. It's going to help them open the door. It's going to say, oh, yeah, I've heard of you guys. Oh, yeah, I kind of understand that. But, you know, in general, from a professional services standpoint, B2B, B2C, you need a well-trained, well-heeled, and a well-understood sales team to be able to utilize those pieces effectively.
Mm-hmm.
That's an investment in your business.
You know, we picked up a new client last week.
Congratulations.
Picked up more than one last week. But this one was particularly interesting because his business is exclusively in video production.
Ah.
He produces videos for people. Preferably videos that are going to be used on the web.
Sure.
What's your professional opinion about using video on the web?
Boy, I love it. I think that that's one of the most, you know, exceptional ways to go out there, get the word out. You know, cost producing those is so inexpensive these days that, you know, most folks can afford to produce a reasonably professional quality video. Obviously, I host a little show called Business Focus that I do with Smart Business Magazine. We do a ton of video work for our clients, whether it's web-based or whether we're sending out commercials or whether we're sending out what video news releases, not VNRs.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yep. So, you know, we produce a lot of video. And with YouTube, with social media, you know, being the way it is, you know, the number of folks that will click on or open video or dwarfs just standard posts. So, I mean, video. I think that's the
video
great way
the
to
web.
Explain.
Is there a time limit that people will actually watch? Is it, can you say it's 1 minute, 2 minutes? If you go more than 2 minutes, people are going to turn you off like a commercial on TV?
I suppose it depends on the content. You know, I mean, if I'm watching like a classic Kiss video, I'd probably sit and watch that all day, or Hulu. I mean, you watch entire
probably,
shows, but
you've got like a toss sitting in
right.
Your office.
Or if it's me on TV, I'll probably be fixated to that. But, you know, the general rule of thumb that we have for most corporate videos or most explanation videos is somewhere between 2 to 5 minutes. You go too much longer than that gets a little bit tedious. Too much shorter is tough to edit. But I'll tell you what, you look at, you know, some of the Buddy LaRosa clips that they're doing right now, those are only 15 seconds long, and they're very clever, and whoever did that is, you know, whether the agency did that or the company, I think that's a really clever way to do that. I mean, snip videos can be great. In journalism and the snips that we'll send out from a media relations standpoint, we try to keep those somewhere between 3 and 7 seconds. So it's all good.
I understand what you mean. Some of the last over-the-air radio commercials I did were 15-second spots.
Right.
And when I go back now a couple of months later and listen to them, I'm thinking, man, this 15-second spot, it's got all the punch in it.
Yeah, it's there.
Got the contact info. It was good.
What else do you need? You know, the rule of thumb is, you know, for a press release, you know, certainly no more than 200 words. For a billboard ad, if you can get it down to one word, you probably succeeded. You know, the most brilliant billboard ad I've ever seen is Eat More Chicken with Chick-fil-A. I mean, I just think that's a great ad with the cow. You know, one of the worst ones I saw recently was there was a certain ice cream company here in Greater Cincinnati that had one of those QR codes up on a billboard, like you're going to be driving down the road, right, and be clicking out with your smartphones. I'm not sure how that worked for them, but it was a novel technology at the time, so they might have tried it out.
I think it would be really interesting to to walk up to the billboard, shoot the QR code with my phone, and see where it takes me.
Right, yeah. I don't think it was even accessible. You had to be on a highway somewhere. But,
yeah.
You know, I get a kick out of a store that's trying things out. I'm not admire them for being out there trying different things. Hey, you got your QR code on your card.
It's a special card for this radio show. It's got the QR code that takes you to the
radio.
Where you can choose which show you want.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think QR codes can be attractive. And as the saying goes, we ain't seen nothing yet. When you see what's coming on with NFC, which stands for Near Field Communications, that is going to change the way we do everything. So you'll be seeing that a lot more in America in the next coming years. It's going to be completely advertising and marketing.
Prospective client in here who had a system kind of like Groupon,
mm-hmm.
for store calls through the mall.
It's like, you're right.
Your phone call.
Yeah.
Specials,
mm-hmm.
for people who were walking through the field was quite the tooth and the on global positioning system.
Yeah, you think you're overwhelmed by ad messages now, just wait a couple of years, and it's going to blow your mind.
Really?
Probably in a bad way. We're all going to want to move to a cave, I think, because we're going to be inundated. And we're inundated now. It's going
to
get...
Yeah, we have to turn off our phones.
We are. We're going to have to turn... Yeah, correct.
So the teenagers at the Kenwood Mall will have a great time. We'll have a little bit of a...
We won't know what to buy.
Yeah.
We'll just be walking around starving.
It'd be confusing.
That's true.
What do you think people are looking for now in public relations or advertising? And I'll tell you this, confess my bias,
sure,
which was caused by cable and wireless, one of my early employers. We had a fellow named Bill von Meister, who was the originator of the company in America. He knew a lot of people, got us a PR guy in New York City who influenced one of the writers in a newspaper called Electronic News.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Electronic News came out with a story about us on page one, at the bottom half of the story, I can still see it in my mind's eye, my telephone would light up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
And we made money, a lot of money, on public relations based on getting our story out into the newspaper.
Media relations, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think that clients are looking for honesty, you know, but I think that clients need to look at what their consumers want. And I think that public relations can really help them understand that this is what your consumers, this is what your clients, this is what that public is asking for, and how best can we relate to that public. Is the best way to get the message out through media? Is the best way to get the message out through events or promotions? And usually it's some combination of all of these things. But I think that they're looking for, at the end of the day, Mike, some ability to really have a genuine conversation with core influencers that are going to make, you know, buy-sell decisions about their business or their votes and so on and so forth. Being heard and are, and a good public relations firm is to ensure that communication from the consumers to business, so they can be proactive in how they're going out, having a shared conversation with these folks. And, you know, it's not all public. You can see it's social media, and they can say anything about anyone. So, you know,
yes, forever.
Right, sure. So it's how you're managing that. It, you know, it's no longer managing the finite, it's managing the infinite. And how can we go about having this shared conversation with folks and get them to do theoretically what we kind of want them to do in a very cluttered environment?
Good. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
This is Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. At the first sign of trouble, there are three types of business leader. The first type of leader is like a turtle. He pulls his head and tail in and hides in his shell. Turtles hunker down, just trying to survive. The second type of leader is an opportunist. They're like eagles. Eagles spread their wings and take advantage of the winds. They catch the storm wind and rise to new heights. The third group, between turtles and eagles, are called turkeys. Turkeys are average and anxious. They huddle together and move. They never soar. However, turkeys are easy prey for those who seize the opportunity and soar. If someone in your industry goes out of business, are you going to get the business? The question is, which type of leader are you? Will you seize the opportunities to take market share and grow, or will your fate be like the turkeys? If you're serious about growth, call me to arrange a confidential meeting, 513-646-6523, or check our website at rothconsulting.net.
This is Mike Roth, back with Roger Rosa. Roger, one of my favorite questions is revolves around the old business problem that we had when we had privately owned a company that privately owned pay telephones in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And we were foolish enough to put our phones on 400 on 7-Eleven locations. And soon it got but it got even hotter than that inside the case.
So that's a good point. They fried.
Well, they decided they were bailing out. And I told my engineer, Steve, electrical engineer and a physicist, to go out, put holes in the case, put fans in. And Steve said to me, Mike, it's a complex problem. Complex problems can only be solved with complex solutions. And I said, solve the problem. He said, let me diagnose it. And he went out and bought a $400 not infrared thermometer to figure out what to do, and we eventually did solve the problem. But not in the way that I
envisioned,
with right. little fans and a lot of holes in the cases. So maybe in the world of public relations, you can tell the folks about a complex problem that was presented to you, and the solution that the Eisen Agency came up with that maybe is cross-applicable to another business.
Sure. You know, our firm is big on Occam's razor. You know, the simplest solution usually is the right one. And, you know, we try not to make things terribly complex. In fact, I get annoyed by ad agency execs or branding execs or these so-called experts that will wax poetic about any manner of nonsense. Really anybody so they can, you know, self-apologize and make them feel important. In matter of fact, what we do is in a way perform rocket science. It should be simple. There's lines that are, you know, do it wrong, just do it quickly. And, you know, it's amazing to me to see.
Let me say the difference between what you guys do and what a lot of companies do. If you're on the creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the creative side, it's a lot tougher for engineers to see.
Sure. And, you know, we'll get asked questions, and I'll use this, I guess, as an example. You know, you'll have a client that just wants every level of detail about how you're going to send a press release out. I can email it, I can fax it, I can physically mail it. I mean, does it matter? Because at the end of the day, all I'm trying to do is get a story in the perk. And
that's funny, which was walking on a shoestring
right.
budget. One of the things is send out press releases.
Sure.
And we had all salespeople in their day, no owners or managers,
mm-hmm.
and not one of the salespeople wanted to see a sample of what a correct
release
press release
would
look
like.
Right.
Do it wrong. Just get it done. Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, I had a client even today, you know, ask me, you know, so I'd like to hear your strategic thought leadership process of how we're going to distribute this press release. And it's almost like those words shouldn't go together in a sentence because, you know, the distribution of a press release is not terribly complicated. And if you're thinking that you're using a press release to get a story in the paper, you're not doing it right. You know, that's not how stories go about getting placed or TV spots go about getting secured. It's picking up this wacky thing called a telephone and saying, you know, hey, Mr. Reporter, I've got a story for you. Do you have a second? Here's some information about that. Pow. You know, press releases is one of the banes of my existence, Mike. You know, it's an awful tactic. It's something that is overcomplicated by folks that don't understand it. They make it far too complex. They don't understand the public that they're trying to reach. You'll have 3-page, 4-page press releases that don't have a prayer of ever getting press. You know, but they've gone up and down the corporate ladder, and 6 people have signed off on it, and everybody's got their 2 cents in it. It's barely readable, but by God, that's what they're happy about. So you put that out, and then they say, well, where'd you get that placed? And the logical answer is nowhere, because I can't do anything with this. But here's the story, and if you want to put this out, then this will get you some coverage.
So the average reporter or editor who
they don't give a flaming rat's you-know-what about your business or that latest
thing. But how many
thing.
Press releases a day do they get?
On average, 24,000 go out on the wire. That's just how many go out on the wire.
24,000
a day. A day, 24,000 on the wire.
But we have a lot of outlets out there. So
right.
The average reporter or editor would get how many press releases to go through?
Some reporters and folks that I know here in town, on average, are getting 200 to 300 a day. So, yeah, and obviously they're not reading.
No, you can't read that.
Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting releases out, you know, if you want to call it a news release, and it's great for SEO, it's great for blog fodder, it's great for information, but write it in a format that is understandable to a client. You know, if I put out a press release that was filled with jargon, filled with industry speak, I'm the only person who even understands it, the only person that release is going to be relevant to is Roger Clones. You're trying to write to your public, relate to
to your public. Speak in a format and a fashion that they can reasonably understand a nuance of it. And if you're legitimately trying to get press, a press release is the answer.
Oh, we waved the magic wand over your head. You may have noticed I keep a few in the
I like that, yes.
Office.
So does Barack Obama. He keeps those handy.
Yes. What problems would the magic wand cure in public relations?
I think that, you know, and every agency out there can, you know, kind of smile and nod as they're listening to this because we all kind of go through the same kinds of things. But in general, clients overcomplicate everything, and they're not speaking as clearly as they should be to their customer and to their public. If you're trying to sell me a cheeseburger, I don't need, you know, a space paper for a cheeseburger was created. I just want to know that it's sizzling, tantalizing, wonderful, my ice bud. So when you're thinking about that type of thing, look for customers, look subjectively at what it is that you do. While it's important to be grammatically correct, and while it's important to be reasonably well written, you know, unless you're putting out legal pieces or 401 or SEC 8s and Edgar filings for investor relations, releases should be a little bit more matter of fact, a lot more to the point, nice punchy headline that would actually get a media person some wonders. But don't hear that when you're writing it.
So let's turn the subject a little bit. You said you take clients from all over the country?
We do, yes.
Okay. You already talked about you like professional services firms.
That tends to be what we excel in, and that tends to be the area that we service.
Good. So there are other people in the professional service area.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best single business development technique that you use to get a client to drop the old agency and hire the blue tongue?
Well, for starters, at least we have a story and a brand and a message. And, you know, as a matter of fact, there are several good agencies out there. There are several good agencies. So it's not like I look at firms and say, oh, they're evil and they're a fool to work with those guys and they should be working with me. There are certain areas that I feel that we do very, very well. And other agencies do as well. I think that as a somebody who might be looking for an agency, you need to be looking at, you know, how proactive is your firm? How hard are they working for you? What's their turnover? Do they constantly have a turn of folks? Do they understand your business and your challenges? Are they coming to you with good ideas and good strategic ideas to help your business grow? But in general, it's a relationship thing. And, you know, I'm not saying that Eisen is better than any other firm. In fact, I don't believe that. I think that there are some tremendous firms across the country. I think that you want to select a firm that you believe is going to work their tail off for you and do it for a good price. And if you want somebody that's going to be honest with you, is going to work their butt off, and is going to genuinely care about your business and what you guys are trying to achieve from a bottom line perspective, not so I can get another piece of plastic acrylic on my, you know, glass wall, which awards are great.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, I'm here to help your business be more successful, and if you want somebody who's going to do that, then I think Eisen is a very good choice.
Okay, well, that's a fair way to look at it. Before we wrap up the show, are there any other areas that you'd like to comment about in public relations that companies should be looking at? Because it is a confusing subject between advertising agencies and PR. I've seen a lot of
ad agencies solve all problems with that. They
don't come up with good solutions.
Yeah, I mean, an ad agency, they can be a valuable thing. I think it's an archaic model. That's just me.
Did I ever tell you about what Sandler's done?
Sell something, I hope.
No, Sandler Corporate.
Oh.
And we rebranded about 4 or 5 years ago from the Sandler Sales Institute to Sandler Training. Fully show that we're doing management, leadership, networking. They give a broader appeal. The agency said, your slogan, where you stand out from the rest of the crowd, is finding power and reinforcement we all did long-term positive reinforcement. And anyone who's interested in that can give me a call if the show is over. The agency they hired decided that the way to reach our target market was to sponsor PGA golf players, who I'm going to call second or third tier, and get the logo of Sandler on their shirts. And they spend some god-awful amounts of money on that.
I'm sure.
I've never felt it worked.
Yeah, I mean, not everything works, you know. I mean, sponsorship is right for certain organizations. You know, that's why there's so many different tactics. It's the difference, if you're looking at a good public relations firm, an integrated firm, just be mindful, because some think of public relations purely as media relations or as a publicist, and there are those firms out there. Eisen is a comprehensive, fully integrated public relations firm, meaning we employ any tactic strategically as necessary to best help a client or organization relate to their publics from an ongoing standpoint,
so
which may involve sponsorship, it may involve advertising, it may involve media relations.
So do you have a diagnostic process that you go through with your potential clients?
We do. Our program is called BOA, which stands for Brand Operations Alignment, because we believe very strongly that if you're going to whatever your brand is, or if it's not even there, then you need to create one. And how you go about doing whatever it is that you do, whether you're a restaurant or a sales company or a plumbing company or whatever, that what you say you do and what you actually do need to be in alignment in some positive way. So we're kind of chiropractors in the PR business. How about that?
Oh, that's good. Roger, why don't you tell the folks again how they can get a hold of you after the show?
Oh, yeah, the EisenAgency.com or the really hard-to-remember one, CincinnatiPublicRelations.com.
Again, thanks for joining us,
Mike,
today.
Mike, thank you so much. And everybody out there from, you know, B2B, B2C, if you don't have a sales process, you don't have this guy behind you, he is the best.
Great. Thanks for coming in. Scott, take it away.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at MikeRoth@RothConsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400.